When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we're rolling to hour number two. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, 800-919-3776 to be part of the conversation. Kind of wide-ranging Friday conversation, of course, with the divisional round games we will get into and break them down and even get into the betting side of things. And in the meantime, on the football front, ESPN New York is presenting An Evening with Garrett Wilson, hosted by us, Bart and Han. It's an intimate event in the Big Apple with the Jets star wide receiver. And for your chance to score passes to this exclusive event, it includes food and beverage, by the way, Bart. You can go to ESPNNewYork.com or find the contest page on the ESPN New York app and submit your entry. It's An Evening with Garrett Wilson and also Bart and Han. And it is brought to you by Corona and Sansone Auto Mall. So, all right, let me respond to the call that we had just got before the break about this report. Now, actually, it originated from Mark Stein, who's been a fantastic NBA reporter for years, has great contacts. And he has been saying that the Knicks have been targeting a handful of players that could help them fortify the bench. And you heard some of the names. It was ranging from Jordan Clarkson to Malcolm Brogdon, Terry Rozier, and Alec Burks. And you and I both know, I've said this a number of times, if I had to put my money on one thing, right? If you put four, for those four on the table and just put my money on which one, I would put it on Burks. I put it on Burks, not because I think it's the best fit. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with familiarity, because he's already been here. They do trust him as a ball handler. He does fit needs. It's not high-end fit, but it's still there. But I just think it's the cheapest option when it comes to what the cost will be, not contractually, but what it'll cost you as far as assets. You're not going to have to give up a lot to get
him.
And the Knicks want to hoard their assets for the summer. And I've been telling you this, and I hope people will listen to me. They will hoard their assets for the summer, because that's when I think you make the bigger move. Their roster-changing move already happened. It was OG Anunoby. It happened already. All right, you're not going to disrupt the roster again.
Yeah.
Now, the other names, Jordan Clarkson would be a great piece to have as a scorer off the bench,
a guy
that can create. Oh, my God, you'd love it. But you know what? Take a look at the standings. The Utah Jazz are suddenly making their way up the standings. They are over 500 after a bad start to the year. And you think Danny Ainge has any interest in, A, moving him, B, moving him to the Knicks at a reasonable cost? We all know Danny Ainge will always make you pay a tax. There's that. Terry Rozier has 3 years left on his deal. Is that really something you want to do?
Who's that? They got 3 years on their tag?
Terry Rozier. He's got a couple of years left on his deal.
Yeah, Scary Terry is a guy that I think that can come here, and if you get him, he can be a mainstay. I mean, he's a professional scorer. I think he'll fit well. He played in Boston. He's familiar. I like Scary Terry.
I like him as a scorer. He doesn't really bring it in any other area. He's got one more year and then a partially guaranteed second. So he's really got two and a half. He's got 2 years left with a partial guarantee. I just don't know if I want to commit to that when I think I could do more in the offseason. Like, so I don't know about that one.
So tell me this.
And then when I get to Malcolm Brogdon, I think it'd be a phenomenal fit. High IQ player, already knows how to come off the bench, solid vet. All the things that you would want, you know, can handle the basketball, crunch time, you trust him to make the right plays, like all those things. What's it going to cost?
Yeah.
So how many assets you got to give up for it? Because you know Portland is trying to, they're in asset collection mode right now. Yeah. So
I'm
there's
surprised
that.
Jeremy Grant hasn't been traded by them.
I am too. But apparently he doesn't want to. So that's what I mean with the name. That's what I'm saying. And then quickly on DeJounte Murray, that everybody now – I walked around the garden yesterday. You know how many people came to me? We really need to get this guy. We got to get this guy. And I looked at him. I said, do you see the names that are now involved in the whatever the sweepstakes are going to be to get him at the trade deadline. And Landry Fields, who's the GM of the Atlanta Hawks, he's played this very smart. He's let it leak out that they're willing to move, and then he's let teams start to like jump in at we want to get him. Lakers definitely want to be in on him. The Lakers want to improve their roster, and he certainly would do that. They are not good enough defensively in the backcourt. Then there's the Brooklyn Nets, who are also very much interested in this. Are the Knicks interested? Of course they are. But you're seeing a price suddenly start to go up. If Pascal Siakam drew three first-round picks and he is going to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, and he got three picks, it's essentially a rental until you can get him signed. All you have is his bird rights. So you're telling me that you think with other teams that are from big markets, Nets and the Lakers, are also involved in this, you don't think that the price is going to drive up to a point where you're going to have to give up a lot more than you really want to? I just don't see the Knicks doing it and disrupting the roster again because you're moving a couple of players and you'd be changing your starting five one more time. That's my thing. So that's why any fan that is hoping for DeJounte Murray, I'm telling you to lower your expectations and hope you're pleasantly surprised. That's what I would say.
Yes. So tell me this, right? What one player would you take? And then what two players are the best allocation?
What do you mean by allocation?
Okay, bam. Your dream pick. Who's that guy? Is it DeJounte Murray? Or
you mean as far as who's available or my dream player fit for the team?
I'm saying out of all the options you just said,
out of
you
the
can only get one or you can get a combination of two.
Right.
Which two? Because we know that two may equal the price of one.
Yes.
Right? DeJounte might be cost you more than, say, Burks and Brogdon. Right? So what's the best value and best bang for your buck?
I'm probably not doing Burks and Brogdon, right? I don't think I'd be doing that, but I might, because Burks then isn't – because we've seen Burks play the point guard position with the Knicks and nobody liked it, although Tibbs trusted him.
But it was workable.
Yeah.
And you get in a pinch.
But if you're moving Grimes, right, now I need somebody that can play – you know, you got Josh Hart. If I'm doing two, those are the two. I don't know. I mean, Rozier might just be – for me, I don't know if I want the contract another year, right? Like that's how I look at it.
Gotcha.
$24 million. I don't think I want
that. That's a lot of money, yeah.
That's a lot of money. So that's why I would say probably not on that
one.
So
Burks and Brogdon.
So if I had a choice, I might go Burks and Brogdon if you say take two instead of one.
But that one would be what? Would it be Donovan Mitchell or would it be DeJounte?
Well, I've heard Mitchell's not getting moved till the summer. Yeah, Donovan Mitchell's not getting moved. The Cavs right now are in the top six. The Cavs are playing well. So they're going to hang on and just do the best. They see how good they can be and continue to try to sell to Donovan Mitchell that this is a place you want to stay. And everybody knows he just wants to come to New York. Now, whether it's the Knicks or the Nets, I think he's going to find his way here to New York, one or the other. And therefore, if you're asking me one of the two, I've already removed Donovan Mitchell. I think Murray would be a good fit with the Knicks. I just think it would disrupt things again. And then DiVincenzo goes to your bench, but does that solve your problem of a backup point guard? I don't think it does.
But much like why the Pacers made the move for Siakam, it's because they want to get these guys to start getting that chemistry. And you could lose some games as they try and figure it out, like we saw with the Clippers.
You missed what I said. Uh-huh. I don't think it's like Jalen Brunson still has to play 40 minutes.
Got you.
Like, now, the argument is, well, you can slide Murray over to the point guard position when Brunson goes out because he's done that before. That was the plan in Atlanta that never happened. So I just don't know if he does solve that. I don't think Murray solves that idea of the guy off the bench that can play the point guard spot. And I think Brogdon does. So that's why I'm saying what I'm saying about Brogdon. I think he solves your problem about Brunson having to just the weight of the minutes that he has to play, because when he's off the floor and Deuce McBride, God bless him, I love the kid, but you could see in the minutes, it's not that he's not trying. It's not that he just has a hard time getting the team into an offensive set. He has a hard time playing a two-man game that doesn't involve him being the primary scorer. It's just who he is. And so I don't have that much time to wait to see if he can develop into that guy. Now, Quickly was a score-first guard, too, but he also knew how to get an offense into place. And that took him about 2 years, by the way, everybody. It didn't happen overnight for him. He struggled early with that stuff, but then he got into it. He was very good last year, and he was really good at the start of the season. So that's why, if you're asking me, and again, this is what I would do, I would be working with Portland to find a way to get Brogdon if he's available. And I haven't heard that he's available. I've just heard that teams are interested in probably calling Portland to see what it's going to cost.
Gotcha.
So that's what I need. Because what we saw last night was Jalen Brunson carry the team, put him on his back. Julius Randle did not have a good game. He really played poorly after the first quarter. They had no one, and they were really reeling late in this game to a point where it's like we were looking at each other like, are they really going to lose at home to the Wizards? Like, this is going to happen? And Brunson probably was feeling it too, and he said, oh, hell no, it's not going to happen. And he ended up he ended up carrying them with a 20-point fourth quarter. I mean, 20-point fourth quarter in the second game of back-to-back, that's an effort, man. That's an effort. So that tells me that it is now glaringly obvious, with still a few weeks to go before the trade deadline, that finding a capable, experienced point guard who can come off the bench and handle the basketball and handle some minutes just to give Brunson a break so he's, you know, 34, 35 minutes, okay. 38 to 40, you can't do that. Yeah. You're not going to be able to survive that.
Wonder what the people think.
800-919-3776. Let's go to Joey on Long Island. Go ahead, Joey.
Hi, Bart. What's good, bro?
What up?
I think it's funny to me, man, how every year around the trade deadline, we start overrating like a one-time all-star or fringe all-star and all and turn him into like the missing piece. I think DeJounte Murray is a good player. I don't think that he's like somebody's about to give up a whole bunch of first-round picks.
You're right.
For him. I don't think he pushes anybody over the edge, over the top.
Right.
I mean, he's been playing with Trey the last couple of years. He was playing in San Antonio the couple of years before that. Never really – you can't tell me of a playoff run that you've seen DeJounte Murray. And granted, he's been with the Spurs and the Hawks, but the Hawks got some talent down there. So for it to be messed up the way it is down there, it's just funny to me that everybody's hyping DeJounte. I think – I'm not a Knicks fan, but I do think the Knicks need to hold off on everything and go after Donovan Mitchell in the summer. That's the guy. That's the kind of talent that puts you over, not a DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, summer is when the deal gets done. Think about this: they traded the Hawks already gave up two firsts and a pick swap for him. Then that was a couple of years ago when they got him. So you imagine there'll be teams lining up. I mean, I'm telling you, the least is three picks that will go in this trade for Murray. At the least, because they have they have competition now, and there'll be teams desperate to make a move.
And you also got to think about, all right, I'm a Jazz fan. I know it sounds crazy. Quinn Snyder was a point guard. So for him to – he's basically choosing right now between Trey and DeJounte.
Well, Trey sells
so
tickets.
For him to be so keen on getting rid of Murray, it's just surprising me that everybody turned to Murray into, like,
Yeah, Joe, look, you're not wrong. You're not wrong about that. And it's always about, well, he'll fit better here. He'll be able to have Tom Thibodeau. He'll have the. There's all reasons to think. And I'm telling you, it doesn't mean that it wouldn't be a good move. It doesn't mean that people would get excited about what it could be. But I don't think it solves the problem off the bench. And now you gave up a ton of assets, and there's no other deals to be made now. Like, that's the problem. Derek in Harlem, what's up, D?
What up? Yo, Bart, yo, real quick. That extra movie room you're going to? Pull up the HBO Max, right? You know, they got all the Real Sex episodes on there, right?
Oh, Real Sex? You talking about Real Sex?
Yeah. They got them on HBO Max. But look.
Oh, they got them on HBO Max?
That's on Max?
Yeah. So go in the movie theater. Sing your hand for like 15 minutes. Let us fall asleep. You're going to feel like a new man.
Yeah, man.
Watch it in your other theater.
Yeah, the other theater. The one that nobody don't go into.
The one you haven't gone into in a while.
Get off my mama.
Oh, on 42nd Street. How it used to be back in the day.
Oh my God. I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about putting the quarter in and watching a little screen come up. No, no idea.
Is that some Pee Wee Herman stuff right there?
Never saw it. No idea. Man, we were in high school. We snuck into this one place, and my boy put in, I think it was like 50 cents, whatever it was. And then you know how like the, it's not a curtain. It was like something that rose up, and there's this girl in a room. Like it's a real person. And we all were like, ah, and we ran out. Like we just ran.
It was at least one of y'all that stayed.
Times Square was different back in the day, man. It wasn't like Disney like it is today. A little different. Derek, did we lose you?
Hey, I'm right here.
Oh, go ahead.
I got beef with y'all, but I'm getting to my point first. At what point do the assets kind of like get weakened, or what I say, don't hold the same value? Because I agree with you about the doing the trade right now just to bolster up your roster, and then in the summer try something. But who's out there this summer that like can really like for the starting lineup to make the team get over that hump to like the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals?
Yeah, that's the problem, is we don't know. And I just think there's a lot of uncertainty, and this is the whisper around the NBA. A lot of people are saying this. There is what's coming after this season is a new thing in the new CBA they agreed to, which are, and I know it's going to sound like all convoluted, but just understand, it's going to cost teams more money tax-wise the higher they are above the luxury tax threshold. So now there's a double, a triple, like it's all this stuff. And there are teams that don't want to have to pay that bill. And so they're going to look at their payrolls and say, is there a big contract that we got to get rid of that we can live without, or that we just don't want to pay? Or we know we're not going to sign them, so let's move on from them. And so because of that, there's some teams that are saying this summer there could be some big contracts and big names being moved by teams that don't want to have to pay a big tax on this. And so you might want to be in play for this in the summer rather than lose all these assets for a lesser player at the February trade deadline. That's something that's being said around the NBA right now. And that's why I keep warning people that I don't see the Knicks making another, you know, big headline kind of move, Derek. I just don't see it. Andrew in Long Beach. Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good.
So, awesome. So I was at the game last night. I had the night off from work. And with respect to Clay Holmes and Edwin Diaz, Jalen Brunson's the best closer in New York since the great Mariano Rivera, okay? He's that guy you need, as we've seen this whole next 10 year, he's the guy you need a win, he's going to get it for you. And a real feather in Thibodeau's cap as the Knicks coach, to go back to your point yesterday, Alan, is that multiple factors go into this, but Brunson and Randall are playing by far the best basketball of their career under Tibbs' tutelage.
Yep.
And they should extend Tibbs today.
Happy birthday. I mean, Andrew, and thanks for the call. I said what I said yesterday. I mean, the man is what he's done with the standard of this franchise, with the identity of it, with changing and where they were right before he came into where they are at this point. It just feels like, an extension is to me, and I think for everybody, I think for Leon Rose and William Wesley, what they've done as well. This group and what they've done to get this franchise, all the turbulence is gone, and to finally get it stabilized and competitive, I mean, this whole group all needs to be rewarded with extensions, in my opinion. Ricardo in Cliffside Park. Ricardo.
Gentlemen, I had a conversation with you guys a few weeks. First off, I hope everyone's safe with the snowstorm. You guys, too.
Y'all call this snowman up in the Midwest, baby?
No, this is snow. This is snow. Go ahead.
Here's the deal. We spoke a couple of weeks ago, and I was very, very upset with the fact that we gave up quickly in the trade. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, Alan, you said to me that day, I stuck the air out of the show. And you know what? Listen, OG, I'm happy. Look, 10 games, we won 8. Here's the deal. We're going to turn Brunson into the next Saquon Barkley, and we have nobody to help him out. Everyone's been saying that our bench right now is trash.
Now, Ricardo, remember, though, I think on that day, I also said that this can't be a trade made in a vacuum because of the hole that was created off the bench, and I felt like there's going to be another deal that should fix that problem, or at least has to address that problem. I did say that. So we knew it was.
But there's a lot of the deals that are happening, though, or they're giving too many picks, and that's one of the things that you said too earlier today that we're starting to hoard these picks, which I hope in the long run these picks can help us get at least something decent. Now, listen, I'm not here praying for an all-star. I'm here praying for the Knicks to get to the playoffs and compete, and that's the issue. Brunson's going to get to the playoffs. We look great right now. But you know what? When we get to the playoffs, are we going to wear Brunson out? Listen, DiVincenzo, you were a big advocate last time we spoke. But you know what? He doesn't do it for me. The other guys don't do it. Look, McBride.
DiVincenzo's been very good. He's been very good, DiVincenzo.
But he just doesn't do it for me because, you know, if we get somebody, he's going to end up back on the bench. Listen, we didn't have to start quickly. Quickly would have been great to back up Brunson, and I get it. Quickly wanted to start. I don't see quickly starting anywhere else, to tell you the truth, in the NBA. I don't think
he's
really
starting for the Raptors right now.
Yeah, but that's the Raptors right now. But when he leaves the Raptors, who's going to sign him?
He's not going to leave the Raptors. They're going to sign him to about $125 million contract extension at the, or not extension, but he's going
to
get signed.
The Knicks should have tried to at least keep him, at least to see what he would have done for the playoffs.
They may offer.
But Ricardo, the problem is, first, they already talked about that stuff for the last offseason, and they found out that he wanted to test the market and see the best he could get. So they knew they weren't going to be able to keep him. That's number one. Brunson was sort of in his way, and he wanted to be a starter, and they knew, like, we're going to lose him, right? That's one. Now, they didn't know – nobody knew they were going to trade him in season, though. They thought it would be as a restricted free agent. But the only way to get Anunoby, who was an important piece to really help that that starting five, which, again, look at the numbers. That starting five since the trade has been phenomenal. So I'm just telling you that now what has to happen with this front office has to recognize it, and these games are showing us this, is that before the deadline, you've got to fix now the hole created now on the bench, which is a little bit easier to fix than it is to create a hole, than it is when you have a hole in the starting five. Now you got to find yourself a capable point guard who can take those minutes, and you don't have a deficit when Brunson's not in the game. His on-off, when he's off the court, it is astronomically worse. That has to be something that they fix, Ricardo. And we know this.
They did that with the Magic. I mean, they struggled with him not even playing. Not even Julius Randle knew what he was doing with that game. Our starting five is like these girls you see on Instagram. It's all filters and all that stuff. But when you look at the bench, there's really nothing back there. It looks horrible.
And that's why they've got to fix it. But that's why we've got a couple of weeks here, and there are options out there, and we've got to see. And thanks for the call. We got to run. But that's what they've got to fix. And last night's game, if it wasn't glaring already against Orlando, if it didn't show up at times against the Rockets, I mean, it was front and center in the second half of last night's game against one of the worst teams in the NBA, when you had a hard time. Every time they took a 9-point lead, like, they gave it away because the bench could not sustain a lead. And that is something that has to be addressed. So we'll see if they do. All right, 800-919-3776. Love the calls today. It's supposed to be a football Friday, so we will certainly get to a lot of football with you. But Audio Files is coming up next, so stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. 41 points to go along with 8 rebounds and 8 assists. Certainly Jalen Brunson, the key to the Knicks' win over the Wizards. Earlier this morning on DiPietro and Rothenberg, Rick and Dave said Brunson deserves MVP votes this year.
Having a chance to see what this team looks like without Jalen and what this team looks like with Jalen, and then the way that Julius and everyone else talks about what he means to this team, you could make a real case that he should get MVP votes.
I agree with that. Now, it's based on more than solely numbers, so he's not going to be in that ilk of the elite player. I mean, he doesn't put up the same numbers as Jokic or, you know, Giannis or those kind of guys.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, Bart, it's a Football Friday on 98.7 ESPN.
We can do it all by yourself.
Brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at Nissan.com. today. All right, so we'll put the calls on hold, but you can keep them coming at 800-919-3776. But right now, Bart Scott, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio Files.
So we were talking Knicks just a moment ago, and the Knicks have played well. They have after the trade, although they have, you know, they had to earn these last two wins, especially last night against a bad team, but took them to the end, and they needed a lot out of Jalen Brunson, who was spectacular at 40 points. But now, of course, everybody's getting into, as we're in the second half of the season officially, on the schedule goes, people are starting to get into this team, right? And so usually what happens in New York when they start getting into the team is that you start getting things like, you know, people wanting to put out some songs. So Lil D made this freestyle.
Lil D from New York.
Lil D,
let me hear it. Lil D. I think I know him. I think he hit me up on my Instagram. I inspire. You know, I gave him some inspirational stuff when he came.
Right, well, he just put together a little freestyle about the Knicks.
I'm an OG like Ananobi.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Blow out your candles like Randall. These other teams phony. The Knicks coming back. We done came from nothing. Ain't discussion. Break them like Jalen
Brunson. Pretty good, right?
We live from the Mecca. We gon' show you where the garden is. Can't guard the Knicks like Josh. I put my heart in it. Shoot like I'm Hardenstein. Wonder where I got it from. No, we so official like Mitchell. I'm straight Robinson.
Pretty good.
You and Vibe in my Puma Clyde. Surprise, do or die. I drop a deuce like Miles McBride. And DiVincenzo. Homie got a bit in my prime. I'm going quitting on you guys. Cause I'm spitting with grime. I had to spit a flow, kill it though. Knicks who I did it for. Been a coach, letting them know. Like Tom Thibodeau, we the pinnacle in the champion gear. Vote this team, bring a chip to the Madison Square. We here, D.
What do you think?
No, this is my dude, man. Like, yeah. like he DM'd me. Like, I saw him doing this thing a long time ago. Mm-hmm. He's Lil D on Instagram. You know what I mean? And he tells me happy New Year's, all that good stuff. I try and, give him little words of knowledge. But, yo, it's funny, though, because he don't look like it, man. Even when he was a little bitty kid, got the glasses and all that stuff, got the little jersey comb over with the part. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, he mean, though. I like it. He's been consistent, too. He's been consistent with it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, all good. Shout out to Lil D, then.
I mean, the only thing I'll add is that no reference to me. Kind of disappointed.
Well, you know what? I can
deal. Could have made some type of tie game reference. You could have said something about my stats.
You know what I mean? I can
Got to let them know. Like, yeah, you got everybody's name in there.
I can DM. I'm a DM right now. Tell them, yo, man, you got to add. You got to do a remix.
Little MSG Networks one. Like, get a little me, little Wally, Monica, Bill. Like,
Allen Hine with the threes coming to the paint.
No. Not the playing part, right? But just something about, I don't know.
So we got it. We're going
to
do it.
Maybe D can add to this.
Save you for the remix, eh?
Maybe you can add to this. But it's still it's really good stuff, though. It's all – I'm just joking. But also, after the game last night, the Knicks now, their focus goes ahead to tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at the Garden will be the Knicks and the Raptors, and that means, of course, the return of R.J. Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley. So you imagine it's going to be emotional, right? And – it was funny. Josh Hart responded to a tweet about like what will happen, like how will the RJ Barrett wondering how the Garden's going to react, and Josh Hart said, "I'm going to boo," which of course he's kidding. But here's Brunson talking about playing against his former teammates, including someone he was a protege in Emmanuel Quickley.
I mean, those guys meant a lot to me. They kind of welcomed me here. They just helped me introduce things to this team and obviously the city and stuff like that. So we have a great relationship. And those guys mean a lot to me. Wish them the thought for us. And obviously, I hope they don't play well on Saturday. But, I mean, those guys are capable of doing big things.
So we'll see how that game goes. Do you think it'll be emotional? You think the crowd will? Because you've heard the callers. I mean, everybody misses Quickley more than anything.
Do we get a highlight video?
That's like, what RJ wondered. Yeah, you give him a video? Does he deserve a video?
Dude, has he earned it? Has he grinded long enough with them to get a video? That's the question.
Does Barrett and Quickley deserve a tribute
you can get away
video?
With it.
I would do one for both of them.
Yes.
One video, both of them.
I think you can get away with that. I think you can get away with that.
Would you do it emotionally? Would you do an emotional song, like a sad song, like about
how I'm coming home?
Not that. Would you do something more along the lines of like the watching your children grow up kind of thing? You know what I mean? And we had to send you on your way.
Just the two of us. When I held you in my arms, I had you in my nerves. I knew I wouldn't let harm come to you there. Yeah,
something like that. Anyways. All right, so from two that left to one that is back, and that is Marcus Stroman, the Long Island-born pitcher who did pitch for the Mets but grew up a Yankees fan and made that clear and wanted to pitch for the Yankees. And whether or not Yankees fans wanted him, the Yankees ended up signing him. And so he met the media yesterday, and we all know that there was a time where Stroman and the Yankees, there was some connection there. The Yankees tried to trade for him when he was with Toronto and then did not. And when asked why, Brian Cashman just said that, he wasn't a difference maker.
Mm.
Didn't feel like he would make a difference for them. And also said he might not even be in our rotation. Stroman then went to Twitter and went after Cashman on that, and that got ugly. So Stroman at the press conference was then asked, how did you and Cashman clear the air to get this deal done?
It was quick, man. It was quick. We literally laughed about it. He let me know his quick little piece about how it didn't necessarily come out is essentially how he wanted it to. He let me know that I was someone who he thought was always going to be a good competitor, someone who could handle the lights, someone who thrived in the pressure. And that was kind of the ultimate draw. You know what I mean? I'm not someone who shies away from the limelight or pressure or the lights. I think a lot of guys would avoid coming to New York and playing for the Yankees because of that reason. And I'm someone who, like I said, I feel like it brings out the best in me. So I'm looking forward to this opportunity. I think Cash is kind of right there in agreement with me as far as he thinks it's going to be a good situation for the both of us. And yeah, I'm just excited. I'm excited. Obviously, I grew up from Long Island. I grew up going to Yankee games, and to be able to put on the pinstripes, that's something we all dream about as kids. So I can't wait.
Did they get him a discount at a discount? Because if I didn't get him at a discount, then I don't know. It's a lot that comes with him, and he's not good enough to get away with some of the stuff and the antics that he has. Because sometimes he can be a bit of a distraction with his little Twitter beefs and all that type of stuff, how he takes stuff personal. So if I didn't get him at a discount at my price, at cheaper than what he may have wanted to come for or be willing to come for, then – I don't know, man.
It's 2 years, 37, so, I mean, it's not like they're – I don't think they're breaking the bank here. But it's also not Blake Snell or Dylan Cease or anything either, so you're not – you know, it's obviously not Yamamoto. But can he be – I mean, again, you got Rodon. I mean, is he – but you got Cortez. I mean, what do you have in this rotation right now? But
so
he did pitch well last year. I mean, he was good last year. You know, he was an all-star.
So essentially, he's replacing Severino.
Yeah. I mean, I guess so, right? So we'll see what we get. But he's of course excited about it. Now for Brian Cashman, is the rotation done? Is this what we're gonna? Was this what you got? Clark Schmidt. Also, let's also remember, always hurt. But will he be available? We'll see. So, is this the rotation?
I think our team overall is going to be a constant evolution. We have a very strong team, in my opinion, but we always look to try to improve upon it where we can and when we can. I think we have a good rotation if everything goes right, which you know is something you don't want to count on and lay back counting on. So, we will constantly continue to look and tinker if possible. But we do like what we have at the same time. You know, I think we have a lot of bases covered with guys, but at the same time, it's 162 games that are right in front of of us. So we need to make sure that between the experience that we have currently in the rotation with the young guys coming up the rear, that, you know, there is enough coverage and comfort. And I feel like, speaking on behalf of any general manager in the game, you're never supposed to have enough coverage and comfort. You're always supposed to think that you need more. So if we can run into some opportunities that make enough sense, you know, it's a possibility. But otherwise, we do like what we have.
Pretty clear that whatever the cost is for Snell doesn't make sense for them. Whatever the trade that they have to make for Cease doesn't make sense for them. And then so they weren't involved in any of that stuff, and this is where they went. So this is your Yankee rotation for now until other things might shake out.
Yeah, what you think about, maybe they'll do something during the trade deadline, see how it goes, see where the holes are. Hopefully they can lean on that bullpen, and Gerrit Cole can be who he's been for the most part, and that's an ace.
He has been, and again, a Cy Young winner as well. All right, so we have football this weekend, Bart. Divisional playoffs begin at 4:30 on Saturday afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon, the Texans at your Ravens. And, you know, like, the Texans are that upstart team with the young quarterback. The Ravens, of course, the number one seed. It is definitely, to me, one of the most interesting games. And here's Ravens coach John Harbaugh. Because the Ravens and the Texans met at the start of the season, so how different are they since you last saw them?
They're just 17 weeks better. You know, I think they do a good job. They've steadily improved every single week. I thought they were a very good football team week one. I think if you go back and check your record, you'll find that. They haven't surprised me or they haven't surprised us. They've done pretty much what I thought they were going to do. They're a very good football team. They're very talented. They play very hard. They execute at a high level. You know, CJ is just doing a phenomenal job.
All right, you were at that game, Bart. What do you see the difference from week one to now the playoffs second round?
I mean, I think he's more comfortable in the system. You think about, you know, playing the Ravens in that hostile environment, throwing for over 250 yards. You know, you look at what he's been able to do. He's been arguably, you know, not only like just the one of the best one of the best young players, but one of the best players. When you consider he was on the MVP type of, he was in the MVP running before he missed the two games.
Yeah.
And you remember what happened when he, you know, got injured, but, you know, his touchdown interception ratio is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, he has the greatest individual, you know, rookie season out of anybody that's ever, you know, played from a rookie standpoint. You know, even better than Cam Newton, which is impressive when you consider Cam threw for over 4,000 yards going against those type of people. You know what I mean? He went in there. He thoroughly outplayed Joe Flacco when we thought what was going to be better, youth or wisdom, and the youth won out.
And again, we'll get deeper into a lot of the playoff breakdowns and everything else in the 2 o'clock hour. The next game, though, on Saturday night is Packers at the Niners, and some relationships here: Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, of course,
and teaching the protege.
Matt LaFleur talking about, you know, again, another number one seed in the Niners, who have been a dominant team. The challenges of taking on the 49ers. Of course, remember, this is a team that went into Jerry World and spanked the Cowboys.
Well, they got many challenges. You know how much respect I have for just their overall scheme, but they do a great job of mixing and keeping you off balance in terms of their ability to run the football. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey, they got a great offensive line. Purdy has played at an MVP level. And then you have the receivers. Also, you have Kittle in there. So it's a well-balanced offense. You got to do something to kind of take them off their game somehow, some way. That's going to be our challenge.
The challenge is going to be to try to keep up offensively, which maybe they can do. So, again, that's going to be an interesting game. All right, so on Sunday, we have the other two games, the Bucs and the Lions. A bit of a surprise to see Tampa all the way at this part of the playoffs. But then you have the Detroit Lions hosting a divisional round game, which that's also something we're not used to seeing either. A lot of excitement, anticipation around your Detroit Lions, but Dan Campbell says, hey, Let's keep our feet where let's be where our feet are. Is that the saying I was trying to say? Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I want us thinking it's the next one. We got three left, and we got to go get this one right now. Let's do everything we can to put a good game plan together. These guys where they can digest, be ready to go, good practice, and let's go get this one. Man, then we got to gear up for the next one. So I think it's very much business as usual. You know, I think it's too early to start getting there. I think that's where you got to be careful. You get complacent. I think that's great for everybody to feel good and love where we're at, but for us, we can't. We got to just stay on the tracks here.
Bart, you know, it's so hard when you're a franchise that just hasn't won in so long. The media, the fans, they get around you and they just start anticipating of all the great things that can happen, and that can, as a player, that's very hard to separate when everybody's around you talking about, you can go to the Super Bowl, you can do this, you can do that, and it's like, yo, just focus on right now. Yes. That's hard to do.
Yeah, step by step. You talk about David Montgomery, you know, getting stopped, telling the story that he got stopped at a gas station with just a woman just saying, hey, thank you so much. How you don't know how much it meant. And then you see the breakdown that Aiden Hutchinson had. And he said, this is for Detroit. Let's win this for Detroit. He said, I'll keep this short and sweet. And the fact that he was concerned and thinking about, let's win one for the city. This city deserves this, because he, remember, he's the Michigan player. He's the guy that's been there. He's a Michigan kid.
Right.
So when one of your best players is homegrown, he understands the gravity of what it means, not only to the organization and the franchise, but also what it means to the city and the people who have struggled and suffered. Yeah. And we've seen the guy that's become like the Sister Jean type, right? When you look at what's happened with the guy that
the season,
you know,
ticket
season
holder,
ticket over 66, you know, years of season tickets holders. You know, you see what happens in the impact.
There's
should be favored, and it's different, right? It's, you know, because people really thought that Matthew Stafford was going to come in there, and the prodigal son comes back and gets it done. But now you talk about, you know, they're the favorite. You know, nobody's picking Baker Mayfield over Jared Goff and the Lions.
And that's the dangerous thing. We're going to go deeper into this stuff in the 2 o'clock hour. But let's get one more piece of audio in here, and that is for the last game. And this is a rematch again. Chiefs and the Bills. It's Sunday evening, and for the Bills, this feels like it's, are you ever going to slay the dragon? Josh Allen on facing the Chiefs again.
Played them every year for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years. So I think it's two teams that are very familiar with each other. So the wrinkles that they put in, that we put in, that we adjust to, those are going to be key to winning this game. So, again, just trying to come in here and be as prepared as possible for game day.
There's so much pressure on the Buffalo Bills. Like I said, 2 o'clock hour, we go deeper into the NFL games, the divisional games, the matchups, and also we'll get you the betting lines and how you can make some money, some lunch money on those games as well. All right, that's Audio Files, 800-919-3776. We will continue with calls and more. Stay with us, Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, a football Friday. We'll get deeper into the matchups, what to watch for. I mean, it's a cold weekend coming, everybody. Be safe out there in the snow today. If you're driving, we'll get you through it. But the games are good matchups. A lot of great stories, so we'll break all that stuff down. Coming up 2 o'clock hour, also Alex Monaco. Get you some lunch money with some of the picks that we have for you and different ways you can play and be part of the action, of course. Sebastian Maniscalco is coming to Madison Square Garden on Friday, September 20th. And Saturday, September 21st, and ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Just scroll down to contest and submit your entry. It's brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. So as we were going through all the different matchups and whatnot that for this weekend's games, there is a couple of interesting stories, and one of them certainly has to do with the Bucks and the Lions and the whole thing that Bart was getting into about his hometown, Detroit Lions. But the comeback story for Baker Mayfield is also one that we can't overlook. So again, like I said, 2 o'clock hour, deeper into that. I just want to mention one thing that came across today that is not, you know, it's not football, it's not basketball. It is simply just sports related, and it's one that's really kind of heartbreaking. Sports Illustrated has been it has been a staple in sports media. It really is one of the originators, right? Like, it's where you got your sports news a lot of times and everything else. Right. Well, the swimsuit edition.
Print media, man.
But still, as far as, like, the standard, it used to be that. Things have changed a lot in our business, as we know. Corporations have come in. They have bought newspapers. That changed everything as well with different influences. There's been a lot of that. And Sports Illustrated was not separate from it, and in fact got caught up in it. And today, a statement from the Sports Illustrated Union and the News Guild of New York that is basically that they are expecting layoffs at SI that could basically lay off the entire staff.
The entire staff? The entire staff?
Yes.
You're saying like 100%.
Well, that's what they're saying. The statement was earlier today, the workers of Sports Illustrated were notified that the Arena Group, which is the corporation that took over Sports Illustrated, is planning to lay off a significant number, possibly all, of the guild-represented workers at SI. So, I mean, essentially would be the end.
That's the end of it, right?
Now, here's the problem. What we also have seen that they have been accused of is this company that took over SI they started putting out articles online that were written by artificial intelligence, sports writers.
Got you. So they're using AI. Once again, you see this happening in what we just had with SAG-AFTRA, right? When we had the, not being able to use people's image and likeness with AI to kind of represent the person and also cheapen. That's plagiarism to a certain extent, right?
No, when it's not a real person.
The person has to put the data in the.
No, they don't. No, artificial intelligence is essentially just writing stories that weren't real. Like, they weren't features, they weren't interviews. They were just taking information about a game or something, and then just presenting it as a story with a byline of a person who doesn't exist. Mm. And again, like I said, how the mighty have fallen. Sports Illustrated, like I said, was once the standard of sports writing. The best of the best. That was when I got into
the New York Times.
When I graduated with a journalism degree, that the dream job was to one day write for Sports Illustrated. And we are at that point now where Sports Illustrated doesn't even have writers anymore. And what does it become? And yes, of course, the swimsuit edition was a big part of our lives growing up as well. But you always looked forward to. I mean, when there was championships and playoffs, I mean, the front page, the covers of Sports Illustrated were a big deal. The stories about the behind the scenes that you never could get. The internet certainly has changed all of that. Sports writing will never be what it used to be in the old days when the writing got you behind the scenes. Now, of course, you get a lot of things right away on social media immediately. Yeah. But still, this is a sad story
that is
developing right now about this magazine that was once, like I said, the standard of sports writing. Anyways,
I knew it was going the wrong way when my guy King left a couple of years ago.
Peter,
say it again.
Peter King.
Yeah, Peter. Yeah. And Peter, me and him, we developed a good relationship.
Yep. I used to always look forward to Rick Riley's column at the back. Like, he was always funny. He had the good, there's just things that you always looked forward to. Yep. The great writers that they had there and that they still have there. That now you just wonder, what is it going to be?
Yeah.
And it's sad. So I just wanted to share that with everybody who understands. Like, that's a piece of me. Journalism, obviously, sports writing, something that matters a lot to me. All right, anyways, football matters to Bart, and we will get into all the divisional matchups and all the money you can make off of it. But first, Bart, make some money by telling me about Sansone.
Yeah, man, Bart Scott here. You have to check out Sansone Auto Mall for yourself. I mean, it's the largest auto mall in all of New Jersey. You get to choose from almost 2,000 new and pre-owned vehicles across 10 top brands, Nissan, Toyota, Kia, Jeep, Mazda, Hyundai, and more. Sansone works with you to fit within your budget. Credit issues, Sansone does it all. They'll get you approved. Sansone works with over 20 banks so you can have more financing options. Tell them Bart Scott sent you, and they'll give you an extra $1,000 off your next vehicle. Sansone Auto Mall, Route 1 in Woodbridge, or visit sansoneauto.com, or guess what? Call 1-800-SAMSONE today, and they'll get you on the road.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. Jerry Jones surprising just about everyone by not making a coaching change. Mike McCarthy will be back next year in Dallas as their head coach, so no Bill Belichick heading to Big D. Yesterday on the K Show, Don said one of the reasons for that non-move is because Jerry Jones wants to win his way.
He is the Dallas Cowboys, and he doesn't want anybody taking any of his shine away. If he fired Mike McCarthy, it would be the moral imperative to get Bill Belichick. And I think Belichick would have taken the job because he wants a Super Bowl, and the Cowboys have immense talent and are very close to winning that Super Bowl. But if they did win that Super Bowl, it would be Bill Belichick's Super Bowl.
And that's brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.